So in the midst of the scriptures that Deborah just shared with us, you heard what is probably, at least in the West, the most well-known scripture, the most memorized scripture in the Bible, John 3:16. In its non-inclusive glory, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And if you are like me, you were raised on this scripture. If you were like me, your faith was shaped on this scripture. And if you were like me, you heard this scripture of lyrical beauty used as a bludgeon to beat on people about faith. It was used as a bludgeon over and over and over, in which it talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And it was the focus on where you do not want to go when you die. That's the way the scripture was related to me when I was a young man. Make sure you say the right words. Make sure you do the right thing, or else you are going to go to hell for eternity. And so this beautiful scripture was used to beat me on the head to make sure that I would, out of fear, come to belief. And if it wasn't used to beat me on the head to make sure that out of fear I would come to belief, it was a scripture that was used very intentionally to divide up the winners and the losers. The winners being the ones who believed. Believe being defined by a certain amount of belief statements, that like a litmus test that you agreed to. And if you agreed to them and said the right words, you were on the winner side. And if you did not agree to those statements, if you did not say the right prayers, you were on the loser side forever. This beautiful scripture was used time and time again to beat up, to bludgeon, to move people somehow to faith. And not only is that a terrible way to share the good news, it's bad theology, really bad theology. For God so loved the world, the word that is translated as world in Greek is cosmos. Cosmos, does that sound at all familiar to you? When John says, for God so loved the cosmos, John was envisioning the biggest world that John could imagine. And at that time, it was probably a fairly small world, John's world. It's a world that was defined by this tiny little podunk province in the middle of the Roman Empire, that if they still held on to the Hebrew Scriptures understanding, when you looked up, there was a dome in the sky that separated water up there from the waters below and the earth that you stood on. And that was the world. And a world that we now know, as we talked about with the young people, is 13.8 billion years or so old, that scientists think may last at least 100 trillion years. Numbers beyond imagination. That we know the world where John was looking at is a tiny little planet in the middle of a solar system with a medium-sized star in the middle, on the outskirts of a galaxy that is 100,000 light years across, and it is one of 200 billion galaxies. When we say, for God so loved the cosmos, the entirety of creation, we are talking a lot more than about whether or not God is worried about whether I've said the right prayer and have passed the right litmus test. And when we talk about those very litmus tests, understand that the word that John uses for belief is a Greek word called pisteuo. Pisteuo, something like that. Neil, where is Neil? Neil, how do I pronounce that word? Thank you. It's a Greek word. And John loves this word. John uses this word 89 times in the gospel. 89 times. Matthew, Mark, and Luke use it just over 30 times all total. John loves this word, and it's a verb. It's the act of believing. Interestingly, the noun equivalent of this verb is pistis. John does not use pistis once in the entire gospel. Pistis is translated as belief, as faith, as the things that litmus test, the things that we must believe. Believe A, believe B, believe C. That's pistis. John doesn't use that. John uses pistueo over and over and over, 89 times, to emphasize that what we are being called to do is to love, to believe actively. And to believe, in John's understanding, is an engagement, a relationship with the living God. A relationship with the living God in which we understand the love that God has poured out to us. We respond with love back to God and to one another. This is a covenantal relationship. Covenant meaning you and I, God and us, together in covenant with one another. It is not a creedal relationship. A creedal relationship is one in which you say, I believe A, I believe B, I believe C. If I don't believe D, I'm out. This is covenant. This is an ever-engaging, ever-shifting relationship. So John is calling us to be in covenant. Just as a mother nursing a child is so much more than just providing nourishment of her milk, but is the bonding of two amazing spirits, so too is John calling us to fulfillment that is found in covenant. The giving of oneself to the other, the emptying of oneself to the other, to reduce believing to a set of rules and regulations is akin to going to a wedding so that we can hear a recitation of the state's ordinances on domestic partnership, rather than being at a wedding to celebrate the mutuality of relationship, the synchronization of hearts in love. Lutheran pastor Angela Zimmern says, when thinking about this scripture, John 3:16, we need to not focus on a dry confessional system of rules and beliefs. Instead, the living water, the light of the world, the good shepherd who tends the sheep beckons us into the most trusting of covenantal relationships. Just as our bodies require water to live, to avoid perishing, so our souls thirst for the living water, the relationship with our Creator. What a different reading of John 3:16 when you read it in the light of a covenant of love. And that's when it hit me. That's when it hit me this week that this is not a theological treatise in John 3:16. This is a song. This is poetry. This is lyrics. This is not dry theology. This is praise that is coming out of John. And this shouldn't surprise us. The Gospel of John, as Deborah read for us, begins with poetry. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is lyrical. It has rhythm. It has beauty to it. This is song, poetry. This is us seeking after the language that allows us to express the depths of our na'au to the stirrings of our heart. It is not intended to outline belief. It is intended to evoke the sinking of our spirit with the Spirit of God. This is what the poets have done forever. This is what the book of Psalms, a book of poetry embedded in the Bible, is all about. It is that evocative spirit of connecting our heart to God's heart. So this week became a quest for me, a quest to find poetry in our world that speaks in the same way that John and the psalmist spoke. And I am a lucky man because in this gathering of folks, there are brilliant people who study the written word, who study poetry. And so I called on Val Wayne, I called on Mark Wilson, I called on Richard Tillotson. I said, help me find this poetry. And they were brilliant, brilliant in their search. And in the end run, nothing that they found actually worked in totality. Nothing that I found worked in totality. And I'm so sorry to say that. But what I discovered is if you take a piece of this and a piece of that and a piece of this, then it all begins to come together. So with apologies to the writer of Psalm 104, to John the Evangelist, to Gerard Manley Hopkins, to E.E. Cummings, to Anne Sexton, to Ernesto Cardinal, to William Shakespeare, to Louis Armstrong, to Mary Oliver, what I've put together is a mashup of poetry and song and scripture. And I do this very much aware that we live in a world that needs us to be acting right now. Those of us that were at the climate march on Friday gathered with these young people who were the ones who were driving the march, bringing millions of people together to think about it, they are saying, we're tired of words. We are tired of words. We are in the middle of an emergency. We are in the middle of a crisis. We need action. The world is on fire, and I could not agree with them more. But the truth of the matter is all we do is march. If all we do is demonstrate, if all we do is act, and we do not take time to fill ourselves with the very presence of the divine, to allow the love that has animated the entire universe to animate ourselves and refill ourselves and re-nourish ourselves, we will wither up and die in our marches and in our actions. So it's important at the moment in which we know we need to act that we also take time to allow ourselves to live into the beauty and the wonder of the love of God that has animated and given life to all of us, and that we are asked to return. As Joseph Campbell brilliantly said, the goal of life is to make your heartbeat match the heart of the universe, to match your nature with nature. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Never lose an opportunity of seeing anything beautiful, for beauty is God's handwriting.
Bless our God, O my soul. O God, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment.
I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes.
You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters.
Mohala ikavai kamaka okapua. Unfolded by the water are the faces of the flowers.
You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the wings your messengers, and the fire and the flame your ministers.
How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the no of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you? Now the ears of my ears awake, now the eyes of my eyes are open.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through that living Word, all things came into being. What has come into being was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. The true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world.
I who have died am alive again today. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay, great, happening, illimitably earth.
You have set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken.
Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as brinded cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim, fresh fire coal, chestnut falls, finches' wings, landscape plotted and pieced, fold, fallow and plow, and all trades their gear and tackle and trim.
In wisdom you have made them all.
All things counter, original, spare, strange, whatever is fickle, freckled, who knows how, with swift, slow, sweet, sour, a dazzle, odd, holy births forth, whose beauty is past change. Praise God.
The earth is full of your creatures.
All animals who lift their voices at dawn sing to God. The volcanoes and the clouds and the trees cry to us about God. The whole creation cries to us penetratingly with a great joy about the existence and the beauty and the love of God. The music roars it into our ears. The landscape calls it into our eyes. In all of nature, we find God's initials, and all God's creatures are God's love letter to us.
O God, how manifold are your works.
Ua ola loka I ke aloha. Love gives life within.
May the glory of God endure forever.
All of nature burns with love, created through love to light love in us. Nature is like a shadow of God, a reflection of God's beauty. The still blue lake is a reflection of God. Each of my cells is a hymn about the Creator and an ongoing declaration of love.
For God so loved the world that God gave God's only child so that everyone who believes in the Christ may not perish but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send Christ into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved.
My bounty is as boundless as the sea. My love is deep. The more I give to thee, the more I have, for both are infinite.
May the glory of God endure forever.
All this is God right here in my pea green house each morning. And I mean, though often forget to give thanks, to faint down by the kitchen table in a prayer of rejoicing as the holy birds in the kitchen window peck into their marriage of seeds. So while I think of it, let me paint a thank you on my palm. For this God, this laughter of the morning, lest it go unspoken. For the joy that isn't shared, I've heard, dies young.
All who believe are given power to become children of God.
Be still, my soul, and steadfast earth and heaven both are still watching. Though time is draining from the clock and your walk that was confident and quick has become slow. So be slow if you must, but let the heart still play in true part, its true part. Love still as once you loved deeply and without patience. Let God and the world know you are grateful that the gift has been given. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty passing by, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends holding hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. All together. The green, red roses too, I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll
much more than I'll ever know, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.